Welcome to the first ever Strain Forward podcast. So if you are watching this, just know this is my absolute first time. If you're watching this on YouTube, I apologize. The videography might not be up to par. So bear with me. I'm doing my best. This is my first ever podcast, first ever episode, the whole thing. So your boy is trying to figure it out. For the very first episode, I wanted to talk about number one, what this podcast is going to be, at least what I think it's going to be centered around, and then tell you guys a little bit about my story. So without further ado, let's dive right into it. The Strain Forward podcast. The whole thing behind Strain Forward is constantly straining forward to the absolute best version of yourself. So whatever that looks like for you, wherever you're at, you know, some people are, they're on their fitness journey and they've absolutely just need to just, they need to get in the gym. They need to get their health in check. Some people it's relationally, their relationships falling apart, whether it's friendships, family, their marriage, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, or maybe it's work and you got to get your work in order. Like, I don't know. It could be various things, but the whole point behind it is we're constantly straining forward to the best version of ourselves. And it comes from Philippians 3, 13, 14. So Philippians 3, 13, 14 says this. Paul is talking to the church of Philippi and, you know, he's writing a letter. And in the letter, he says, you know, one thing I do is I forget the past and I strain forward toward the goal, toward my calling and my heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm sure I'm missing some words there. I don't have the verse completely memorized, which is ironic as it's, you know, my brand's motto. But I love it because it speaks to the heart. For me personally, it speaks to me because, look, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, as I'm sure you have out there too. You've made a lot of mistakes. You've done a lot of things. You've messed some stuff up, right? Well, the good news is we're called to forget it and push forward toward the best version of ourselves. Now, you might not be a believer, you might not be a Christian, but I guarantee that that resonates with you at least to some extent, okay? And that's my hope for you, as I want you guys to be inspired to become the best version of yourself. So that's the Strain Forward podcast. I'm going to be highlighting, you know, bringing on guests where we're talking about challenging things that they've been through, how they overcame it, but I also want it to be very educational where, you know, I bring a guest on, especially, you know, my whole thing is health and fitness. I'd love to bring you guys some really good education within health and fitness, you know, cut through the BS and teach you guys about, you know, what foods you need to be eating for your specific goals, what kind of training style do you need to be doing, how do you get the most out of training, like all the different things. So that's going to be the podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Today, I'm going to walk you through my story. I'm going to do it pretty briefly. So it's going to be high level. And I wanted to do this just to sort of level with you guys and tell you where I'm coming from. And hopefully, hopefully encourage you guys. So let's do this thing. So if you don't know, also, before I get into this, if the audio is terrible, guys, I'm so sorry. This is literally my first episode. So I'm looking at everything. If you're watching on YouTube, you can tell I'm looking at the audio interface, making sure it's all quality. But anyways, let's do this thing. So my name's Kyle Bernier. I grew up in Florida, or I was born in Florida, grew up in North Carolina in the mountains, the western part. I've been an athlete my whole life. I started really young. My dad was huge about football. He's big Dallas Cowboy fan. And so it's also thundering outside. So if you hear that, it's raining, thundering. So again, just trying to figure this whole thing out. Huge Dallas Cowboy fan, had me playing football at a young age. I started at like 3 years old with flag football. At least I think it was three or four, somewhere in there. Loved it, loved playing football. Moving into like middle school and high school, I was a track guy. Track guy is still football. I ran hurdles in high school. I was a safety, wide receiver. I was also the punter in high school, ironically enough. Kick return, kickoff, like I did the whole thing. Then went to college, played both in college. Football and track. I was a decathlete at Western Carolina University. I did that for 2 years. Decided I didn't want to do that anymore. I was also playing football at the same time. I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. And I wanted to pursue CrossFit full time. If you know me from Instagram, you know that I'm an ex-professional CrossFit athlete. And I'll go into that in a little bit, coming up in a little bit. But I wanted to pursue CrossFit full time. I had found it in high school, but decided to just kind of keep it on the back burner as I was, you know, pursuing football and track. And then I went full steam into CrossFit. And after college, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. In Charlotte, I was a coach at a gym, CrossFit coach, personal trainer. That's how I got connected with a group named Training Think Tank. If you're familiar with them, they're an excellent group. They help athletes become either A, professional CrossFit athletes, or if you just want to get really exceptional training, you know, for a specific goal you have, they have incredible individualized programming. I can't say enough good stuff about them. They're awesome. They're an awesome group. So I worked with them. After being in Charlotte for 3 years, I decided to move on site with Training Think Tank here in Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. And I've been here now for about 4 or 5 years. Okay. So that gives you very much so like a high level overview of my sports background. All right. And I want to go a little bit deeper into, you know, my family life and then kind of give you guys the background of, how I've become a single dad, you know, cause there's a whole story there. So let's do that. Let's dive into family life. Growing up, my family life I describe it like this. It was definitely not the best, but definitely not the worst, right? There were some really good high notes. My parents, they both loved my brother and I incredibly well. Like, they loved us with their whole heart. Excuse me. And the reason our family life growing up wasn't great was because my parents just couldn't figure out how to love each other well. And I'm sure some of you out there can relate to that. You know, you had parents that were maybe just like an awesome mom or an awesome dad. You know, you have a lot of great memories with them. Like, I have a lot of incredible memories with both my parents, but I don't have a lot of incredible memories of my parents together with each other. And that's the hard part. There was a lot of arguing, a lot of turmoil growing up. My dad was in and out of the house. It's funny now. I'm laughing because, you know, he struggled with smoking weed. You know, he liked to get high. You know, we got high from time to time. And my mom didn't like that. So there was a lot of, you know, back and forth arguing with that. And, you know, that was really tough. That was really challenging. So my dad was in and out of the house. He was also physically abusive to my mom a few times. You know, I'll share this story with you guys. I'm giving you kind of like the spark note version. So I'm picking like the high notes of everything just because, I mean, I might as well since I'm telling my story. He was physically abusive. There was one particular instance growing up where, you know, my parents were arguing and I was upstairs trying to sleep. My brother and I were, and my mom starts calling my name. You know, she's like yelling for help. So I run down there and my dad's on top of my mom. I don't exactly know what he was doing or wasn't doing. All I know is like, he wasn't supposed to be doing that. And I yelled at him, you know, get off of her. So he hops off. And then, you know, that turns into a whole thing where he ends up leaving. And then, you know, the cops find him later. He gets arrested and led into a big ordeal where he ended up going to prison for 2 years. And, you know, leading to going to prison while he was out of the house. I'll share this story because this is a pretty intense story. So I'm going like level 5 on you guys right out of the gate just to share my heart with y'all. He, while he was out of the house, he was very distraught. He obviously didn't want to be away from everything, but he had made some mistakes and my mom absolutely made the right decision by having him at the house. Well, one day while I was there by myself, my mom was gone. My brother was gone. I hear this noise up in the room and it was him. He was breaking into the house. And so he breaks into the house and I'm there and I'm trying to, you know, figure out like what's going on. Like, what is that noise? I quickly realized that it was a person coming in. I didn't know it was him at the time. And he walks around the corner and I see him and I'm like, you know, what are you doing here? I'm 13 years old, 12 years old, and, you know, kind of freaking out. So I ask him, you know, what are you doing here? And to this day, I don't know what he said, but he said something. It was enough to scare me. And he was scary enough. Was carrying a machete with him. And so my little 12-year-old brain was like, I thought he was going to kill me. He wasn't going to kill me. I don't know what he was there to do exactly, but he wasn't going to kill me. But I thought that. And so I got really scared. So I run to my neighbor's house. We call the cops. The cops come. And my dad, decides that He just wants it to be over. He'd gone through a lot between my mom and him, you know, construction business not working out in Florida, and things just really falling apart due to some poor decisions he made. He decided that he just wanted it to be over. Like he wanted it to be over, and he tried to commit suicide. He cut his throat from ear to ear, and he basically like starts bleeding out in the house. He wrote some messages on the wall. I won't go into detail like what it said, but he wrote some messages on the wall. Just some really, really dark stuff. And the cops come. He's still alive. They fly him to a hospital in Chattanooga, Erlanger, I believe the name was. They stitch him up, and he survives it. Like it wasn't enough to take him out, I guess. So he survives that. He ends up going to prison for 2 years, like I said. During that time while he was in prison, we ended up reconnecting with him. And some of you guys might think that's crazy, but we did. We reconnected with him, and he genuinely became a different person after that. You know, he went all the way down to the bottom. Like he couldn't have gone any lower other than just dying. And he went all the way down to the bottom and did come all the way back up and became a really solid dude for a while. And then came down with cancer, ironically enough. And the cancer came in the exact same spot on his neck where he had tried to commit suicide, which was, you know, very, the irony there is just, it's crazy. So he gets cancer. He ends up beating cancer after chemo, radiation, the whole thing. Also, if you guys can hear the rain, I'm so sorry. I don't know if you can or not, but it's pretty loud. So he ends up, he gets cancer. He beats it. And then it comes back a second time. And when it came back a second time, he went back into treatment again, but he was in a lot of pain. So he was taking pain meds. And again, alluding to that drug issue I described where he liked to get high. He struggled with drugs earlier in life, became sober, but this sort of catapulted again where he was taking opioids, and we all know how addicting opioids can be, that he ended up becoming, he was taking too much and he wasn't telling my mom. And crazy enough, he hasn't gone to the bathroom. He gets constipated. You know, he's backed up, I don't know how far, and he tries to push one day when he's on the toilet. And I'm sorry if this is super graphic, but he ends up having a seizure and he has to go to the hospital. And what ended up taking my dad's life was going septic. It wasn't him trying to take his life. It wasn't cancer. It was, he just couldn't get past the drug use, and the drugs ended up taking his life, which is, you know, that's ultimately really sad. So I share all that to say that I know someone out there has experienced the loss of a family member. Might not be the exact same story, but you've experienced that loss, and that loss, it's honestly really hard. And it gets harder the older I get. You know, I was just talking to my brother today about this, where, you know, as I'm 31 now, that happened when I was 19. At 31 years old, it'd be nice to have a father figure to go and talk to. Maybe not even for advice, but just like to have a dad to talk to and just shoot the breeze with. I know that's an old saying, but I'm saying it. I guess I'm old now. But like, just to have someone to talk to. And, you know, a result of that, we both, my brother and I, we talked today and said, like, we've tried to make other people in our lives. We've subconsciously replaced him with other people in our lives that just can't fill the void. And it gets harder the older I get. So I don't know if anyone out there can relate to that, but that's the most challenging thing about losing, you know, a parent, at least for me. But that gives you guys a kind of a quick snippet of like my family life. I'll break down a little bit of like my faith journey and tell you guys a quick story involving that. Again, just sharing, I'm sharing some pretty deep stuff. I'm doing it because I want you all, I want to be as, I guess, as transparent with you all as possible, that to let you know that like I'm coming from a place of a level of understanding with some of you guys. I can't relate with everyone, but I can relate with some. So my faith journey, I grew up in the church. Fortunately, my parents had us both in the church at a young age. And by the grace of God, the people that were in our lives were absolutely incredible. The churches we went to were incredible because they were preaching the actual gospel. The gospel of God sent his son to live a perfect life. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried for 3 days, and then he was resurrected from the grave, conquering sin and death for everyone for all of eternity, so long as we decide to put our faith in him and believe in him and profess his name and believe in our hearts. That was ingrained in my mind, in my heart at a very young age. But it did not become real to me until something happened in college. And I will break this down to you guys the best that I can. Again, someone out there might be able to relate to this, but this particular thing rocked my world. So when I was 21 or 22, maybe 20, somewhere in there, and I hope he hears this, I have a best friend who wanted me to get high with him for the first time. Like, he wanted me to smoke weed with him for the first time. So we devised this plan where I would, you know, we would acquire this substance, and we did. And the plan was to get super high and then eat some cookout afterwards and just enjoy being high with the munchies. Like, that was the plan, right? Sounds, to some of you guys, that sounds great. To me, it sounds like a nightmare now. But at the time, I was like, you know, I haven't done it before. I'll do it with my boy. Like, let's do this thing. So we do it. And your boy here took a hit out of a waterfall bong. If you don't know what that is, you don't want to know. If you do know what that is, you know what I'm about to say. I got incredibly high, like so high. And I tripped. And in this trip, I thought that I had died. I thought that I had died. And I was 100% convinced that I had gone to hell. 100%. Like, I in this trip, wherever I was 1,000% convinced it was hell. And I was stuck there forever. And it was the most horrendous experience you can imagine. It wasn't like there wasn't fire and flames and demons and these things. All there was, it was hopelessness and stuckness. And what I mean is, like, I literally felt like I was stuck. Couldn't move, couldn't breathe, couldn't do anything. And I felt so alone and hopeless. And it was the worst thing you could ever experience. And I was stuck there for I don't know how much time, but then by the grace of God, I came out of it. And I remember when I came out of it, I started hysterically crying, like sobbing, screaming. And it was tears of joy. Because I could move again. I was back in reality or whatever. Like, wherever I wasn't there anymore. And I was so glad that I wasn't back there. And I don't know how long I was in it for. And I remember while I was in it, this phrase was going through my head. Everything I've ever known is gone. Everything I've ever known is gone. Just over and over and over. And I came out of it and went back into it again a few minutes later. Back into this realm of just like uncontrolled thoughts of just chaos and like evil thoughts and confusion. My head was spinning. I couldn't control anything. And I was just lost. I was lost in this world of hopelessness and feeling I was stuck there forever. Well, I ended up waking up the next day. I woke up the next day. I don't even remember falling asleep. I know at some point I fell asleep. And funny enough, my boy, Mike, he tells me this later, like years later, he's like, dude, when you finally fell asleep, I was like, thank God. he was freaking out too. I mean, he almost called the hospital. Like, he almost called EMS. Like, he was so worried about me. Like, he tried to get me into a cold shower. I vaguely remember him dragging me around the house and I was fighting him on it. And it was just a nightmare. Well, I wake up the next day and for about a week, I was a little bit messed up. We went to the beach and I was just kind of like, I was just kind of out of it, right? And I remember laying in the sand. The sand felt incredible because it was warm. I could lay there and I could just like touch it. And for whatever reason, just like the the feeling of like a physical object was making me feel more connected and back into reality. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I was experiencing. After that week, I was pretty good. This is where the hard part comes in. I told a friend about this. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later. I told him. I went back to college and I was like, dude, I had this crazy experience with Mike and I did whatever. And I started feeling the same feelings again. I thought I was going back into it. That catapulted about 8 to 10 months of PTSD where I was like every night having nightmares, waking up every day. And the first thought in my brain was, am I back there? Am I going back there? I got like borderline, I hesitate to say this, but I got borderline suicidal because I was just so confused. Like I couldn't differentiate reality from that realm because that realm was just so confusing and it messed with my brain so much. Well, this pushed me back toward another friend of mine. His name is Tyler. And I hope he sees this too. And Tyler was, and to this day is just like, just such a solid believer. Like he is a dude that I go to for a lot of guidance and life stuff because he's just an awesome dude. And I knew at the time that he was a Christian and I wasn't. And so I glued myself to him. I got involved in a group called Campus Outreach. I started going to like the groups and I went back to church with him. And I remember when I went back to church with him, he drove me there. And I remember seeing the church, and when I saw it, just started crying, like bawling my eyes out. And it was tears of joy. Like when I just remember feeling like so glad that I could see a church and know that I could walk into a church full of hope and possibility after coming from an experience where I felt complete hopelessness and emptiness. And like I was stuck there and now I could walk into a church and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was the most overwhelming thing ever. And Tyler, he didn't know how to handle it. He just kind of sat with me in the car as I cried, I just sobbed. And then we went in there and it was just awesome. So I ended up moving in with him. Funny story here too. I moved in with him. And if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see me explain this. I moved back in with him because I didn't want to live by myself in my apartment. Like all my other roommates had kind of gone elsewhere, something was going on. And I moved to the house where he was, and they didn't have a room for me, but they had an extra twin mattress, and that twin mattress I could slide under Tyler's bed. So I slept under Tyler's bed for like, I don't know, 6 months or something. And the bottom of his bed was like 8 inches in front of my face. And I slept there every single night. I was like, I will not be by myself and I will not be away from this dude. I won't do it. I can't do it. And that's what I did. Well, that whole experience, that whole story, it led to a true relationship with Jesus. And I want to be clear here. Since then, I mean, I have not been perfect by any means. I mean, I'm a single dad. So do the math, right? Like, I've not been perfect, but that was the catalyst that sent me on a journey of growing as a person and growing in relationship with Jesus, which kind of segues into how and why I'm a single dad now. So to make this section as brief and as short as possible, I'll give you the SparkNotes version of I kind of went in and out of some relationships, you know, in college, after college, the whole thing. And I met, you know, I don't even know if I should share this, but I'm going to be as respectful as possible. But I met my ex, currently my ex. You know, I don't know what the future holds for us, but right now, currently she's an ex and, you know, whatever. But I met her at the gym where I was training at here in Georgia, asked her on a date. She said yes. She's the first girl I asked on a date. I was the first guy that asked her on a date. So that was kind of cool. And we started hanging out. Our relationship wasn't godly by any means. We were whatever. And so fast forward 2 years, she ends up getting pregnant. And that was like another scary situation for me when you're not planning for that. And then it ends up happening. You're like, okay, well, what do we do? I was pursuing CrossFit full time, so I didn't have any money. I didn't have a career. I didn't have a job. Like, I didn't have anything lined up. But I wasn't going to leave. And I stayed committed. And, you know, we did the whole thing. We did the whole pregnancy thing. And we ended up having our son, Maverick. And it's been the greatest thing ever. But it's also been the hardest thing. And so, you know, going from having a relationship that was already kind of founded on, let's just call it what it is, being founded on sin and not a godly relationship at all. We were already struggling relationally. We were arguing and it just wasn't pretty. Well, then we had a son on top of it. And we're like, okay, well, we're going to figure this thing out. And we just couldn't figure it out. And I won't share anything about her stuff because I just don't think that's fair. She's not here to defend herself. So I'll just share my stuff. I want to be as respectful as I can. My stuff that really bothered her, and I hesitate to share this with you guys, but again, I'm trying to be as transparent as I can because I think that transparency builds, you know, authenticity, and I want to build a relationship with you guys in this community and this podcast. The thing that drove her, that crushed her in our relationship, was a struggle with pornography, and that was my struggle. I had struggled with that since I was 12 years old, and you know, I struggled with that throughout a relationship. And that for her was just a big thing that, like, it killed her. And for better, for worse, for right or for wrong, that was a straw on the camel's back that just, it broke it, you know? So we ultimately end up separating. Again, I won't share her stuff, just share my stuff. We were engaged at one point, and then we got disengaged, unengaged. I think that's the right word. And now we're doing the whole single thing. Will we get back together? I don't know. It could happen. But right now, she's focused on her. I'm focused on me. And we're just trying to be the best parents that we can be. That is my story. Where are we at in the time? 27 minutes. Okay. I think I'll stop it there, you guys. Again, I just wanted to sort of start this thing off with being as authentic with you all as possible, being as honest with you guys as possible, because my whole thing is you made mistakes, you have a past, you got to get past it. You got to leave it in the past. You got to leave it buried in the past. And it's not fair of me to tell you guys to do that, to try and inspire you guys to do that, if I'm not going to do it myself. You know, if I'm not going to be willing to open up and share this with you all, and then, you know, talk about, well, blah, 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 whatever you guys needed. Like, I want to be as real as possible. And I've said this before on my Instagram. If you're going to follow me, I want you to follow the ugliest part of me. I don't want you to follow a highlight reel. I don't want you to follow fake Kyle who's just posting cool workout videos. Like, I want you to follow the real me who's, like, made mistakes and screwed a lot of things up. And genuinely is trying to just move forward every day. Like, my slogan is a slogan for me as much as it is for you. So thank you for listening. If you listen this far, thank you for watching on YouTube. If you watch this far, coming in the coming days, I'm not gonna say it won't be as heavy. It'll still be heavy, but a lot more educational, hopefully a little bit more entertaining. This is podcast one, and that's a wrap. See you guys.